We will, as is customary, pause for a few moments of silent prayer before resuming our study. You may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity to pursue truth. As we provide the positive volition and concentration, it's our prayer that what we hear in this particular hour will contribute to our spiritual advance. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Before we begin the study, I got some stats from Gary at halftime. Over the course of Gary's 11-year ministry, you've had 160,000 people attend your Bible classes.
No, we've sent out roughly 160,000 books, tapes, MP3s,
media,
study guides.
It's 160,000 units of media.
Yes, over that actually.
Well, 160,000 plus. What's the plus 900?
That's 900 people who've been released.
Over the course of 11 years, 900 people have been released. Okay, and only 7 have gone back. That's a real small number, isn't it? So like the people that die from COVID.
Oh,
no, I understand. He deals with decimals. Well, that's what he does. And you couldn't tell it just by looking at him. You wouldn't know that he was a decimal man. No, I'm kidding, Paul. But I talk to Paul from time to time, and things drift over into things technical, and I just nod my head saying, all right, yes, sir.
He asked me to call him whenever I do. It's like I have no idea what he's going to talk about.
I know. Right. Math without numbers. Okay, we're at paragraph D, the biblical history of the pivot of Gentiles. I went through these old boys right here as we completed the first session. Just wanted to introduce them as to who they are and why they're important here. The first Gentile client nation was SPQR, Senatus Populusque Romanus, the Senate and the people of Rome. And that, of course, has to do with the Roman Empire. So I gave you their names, all 5 of them, and they're up on the board. Now, although these emperors were dictatorial, the empire enjoyed a period of great freedom and blessing. It is not the form of government that causes prosperity, but rather the presence of a strong pivot. You can live in a society that is governed by those who are not necessarily, and in this case they were not, believers. But there was an environment that prevailed in the Roman Empire that allowed Christians to grow in grace and to move along the growth process and therefore become a part of the sophisticated pivot. The pivot is what holds a client nation together. Everything else is second place or worse. But when the pivot is there, God honors that piece of real estate. Got that? When the loss of the pivot occurs, it is because of the inculcation of erroneous thought that has entered into the body politic, and the lie has been believed and accepted as the truth. And that's where we are in Client Nation America. We do not know the size of the current pivot. We will find out soon. But if we are going to go down as a client nation, and by that I mean this, let me qualify that. If certain people get control of this government sometime in January, what they have already announced they will do will significantly alter the status of this nation as a free republic. That's what they want to do. That's what they've said they're going to do. Whether they are able to do it or not remains to be seen because I'm not a prophet. But nevertheless, we're in danger if those people do gain power. When I say we, I mean Client Nation America and those who live in it. So although these emperors were dictatorial, the empire enjoyed a period of great freedom and blessing. It is not the form of government that causes prosperity, but rather the presence of a strong pivot. And when Rome's status faded around AD 476, the pivot had already made its move westward, where certain men had already begun to minister to Europeans. Martin of Tours, 316 to 397, Patrick in the mid-400s, Columba, 521 to 597, Columbanus, 543 to 615, Boniface, 675 to 754, Cyril and Methodius, 825 to 884, Ansgar, 801 to 865, Eric the Red and Leif Erikson in the 10th and 11th centuries. You can see the book Gospel's Missionary Journey for more on these individuals and commentary on their movements westward. Paragraph E, the principle of the pivot's historical impact. There is evidence throughout history that a large pivot causes prosperity within the nation that hosts these believers. However, whenever there is a shrinkage of the pivot, then prosperity diminishes and cosmic influence is empowered. We certainly are in that downtrend presently in this country. And I would add that this is something that should have caught no one by surprise. You do the research, we go back to John Dewey in the 1920s, and you come up to the 2020s, and you can see that that is a full century of assault on the foundational principles of this client nation. It shows you how when things are done slowly, people adapt to it. So when a client nation's body of believers enter into such a decline, then reversionism enlarges the historical downtrends and they become evident. The positive historical impact that emerged during the pivot's golden age always lags behind the cultural decline. The positive historical impact that emerged during the pivot's golden age always lags behind the cultural decline. This leaves the impression that all is well, but as the pivot continues to shrink, the culture's decline has already gained a head start. And that's been true for all the client nations. Now, it is within this situation that three acolytes of the dark side lay the groundwork for their sudden, well-planned, multifaceted, yet bloodless coup d'etat. The sudden overthrow of a government by a usually small group of persons in or previously in positions of authority. I've chosen the term coup d'etat. A coup d'etat can occur within a population. In other words, they are among us. Or they invade. And it's done by a small group of people who have the wherefore and the mechanics and the wherewithal to come in and take down a nation or at least give it a good go. I'm calling it a bloodless coup d'etat. There has been blood spilled, but very little by comparison to what you would normally expect with an invasion. I use the term coup d'etat to describe how rapidly the overthrow of a superpower can so easily be accomplished. This assault included all sorts of chaos, but it took place in areas that, from all appearances, supported the chaos, and the states in which it occurred gave their obvious approval in the following election. When you burn down an entire city, destroy buildings, kill people, set things on fire, steal merchandise, and no law enforcement is allowed to come in and quell the riot, and then nobody seems to be upset about it, that's got to tell you that something is going on that is way off the beam of normalcy. The occurrence of the Chinese flu, which suspiciously was a part of the overall plan. enable the perpetrators to use totalitarian tactics to control the population, get this, by use of fear. I was talking to someone recently about these suspected vaccines they want to come up with. And they seem to have come up with three of them. And you hold your arm out or whatever, and they'll shoot you with the goo. And that's supposed to protect you from the COVID. And then when you look at what the death rate is, all over this country, it is 0.03 or less. But if you examine what they're saying about the vaccines, while they're as effective as somewhere between 90 and 95%, and the other 7 to 5% die from taking it, your odds are better just to grit it and move through it. Joe Henry and I have a physician that we go to two times a year, checkup, blood tests, that kind of thing. So she asked the doctor, what do you think about these vaccines? And he said, well, just between me and you, normally when you decide to develop a vaccine and you begin to produce what you think might work, generally it takes from 8 to 10 years for everybody to agree that it's a functional and safe thing to do. And he said, we're doing this over a course of just a few months. He said, I don't trust what they're coming up with. And the reason you shouldn't trust it is because the percentage is too high with regard to those who die from it, with regard to those who are dying from the COVID. So be careful about the vaccines. And when someone comes up to you and says, you know, you've got to do this, say, you know, I think I'll just bite the bullet for a while longer. St. Charles County, by the way, is where we live. The death rate by comparison to the number of cases is 0.01. People who are afraid are easily manipulated and controlled, and it was evident that the diminished power of the pivot could not hold. The strategy to take down the country has seemingly been successful. The politicians, primed to acquire power, openly declare to transform the country. They have unabashedly announced they intend to transform the country to their liking. And if elected, they will do what they like. Within this political context, it is important for mature believers to engage the enemy. But that engagement must be administered by the application, get this, of the royal law. We can be in opposition to those who seek to do ill to the country. But stay inside the bubble. Just understand the situation, but leave those people alone. God will take care of that business. You don't have the power to. So disagree is fine, but stay inside the bubble. Inside the bubble, you can disagree with a lot of things, but you're not casting aspersions against the target. They're doing what they want to do. That's their business, and you have no power over them. So let God take care of those folks. Within this political context, is it important for mature believers to engage the enemy? But the engagement must be administered by the application of the royal law, and you know what that is. It's integrity. Stay inside your bubble. Let God take care of these folks. The perpetrators are evil. They've displayed that. Having seemingly overthrown the establishment, they have their hackles up to finish the deal. Now, two terrorist groups stand ever ready to enforce the desires of the newly empowered revolutionaries to control those who object to the new status quo. This kind of threat, already demonstrated in the streets of America, is designed to impose fear in the souls of the vanquished. Know this, fear is not an option. You're not allowed that. Mature believers are God's unseen fifth column. See if I can find. I want to go back. Let me do this. Mature believers are God's unseen fifth column, unobtrusively embedded throughout the commonwealth as emissaries for the Lord. And the Lord gave specific instructions to the 12 apostles in Matthew 10:16. Very short verse, but there's a doctrine embedded in it. To repeat, mature believers are God's unseen fifth column, unobtrusively embedded throughout the commonwealth as emissaries for the Lord. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. No doctrine, stay inside the bubble. No shepherd would ever send his sheep into a pack of wolves unless he had the power to protect them. The illustration is a herd of sheep. I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Jesus Christ told these 12 guys, I'm sending you out into the heart of hell. And your job is to stay inside the bubble. The phrase here, be shrewd as serpents, but innocent as doves. I'll repeat 14. Here's the doctrine right here. No shepherd would ever send his sheep into a pack of wolves unless he had the power to protect them. That is inside the divine power system with the doctrine you see on the board. Sophisticated spiritual life. Knowing the enemy. Staying out of the bad guy's way. Let God take care of this. You are the power that can hold this whole deal together simply by getting inside the bubble, be sophisticated in your decision making, and never, ever, ever be afraid. God's got this. You're the sheep, He's the shepherd. So in this context, that is exactly what the Lord tells them to do, and accordingly He intends to protect His sheep when they are among the wolves. You got that? That's the doctrine you take away today. You're a sheep. You are vulnerable. Not, though, if the shepherd has got your back. Principle, fear is not an option. God will provide divine cover. He will protect you. What is it you have to do to be protected and be a part of the pivot's power? Fear is not an option. God will provide divine cover. He will protect you. Believers are commanded to be wise as serpents, not an appealing idea at first, but in the ancient world, serpents were considered wise. The Greeks regarded snakes as sacred and used them in rituals to heal the sick. Note the footnote. The medical symbol of the American Medical Association depicts the rod of Asclepiades, 2nd and 1st century B.C. Greek physician. Weldon knows about that, an icon of some kind. And so this is the guy. He was a Greek physician back in the day in 2 and 1 B.C. And so when you move into the first century A.D., you've got that concept. And therefore, the snake was considered in that particular environment to have wisdom. Now, don't ask me how they came up with that. I'm just telling you what I've read about it. Any snake I see, it doesn't matter what flavor it is, that snake, if I can run, I will run. And if I got something to kill it with, it's dead. And you say, well, you sure are a coward. You're not in the bubble like you were saying you were a while ago. No, that's my downfall. So you keep the snakes away from me, I'm good. Don't do snakes. But in the first century, if it's considered to be a concept of power and wisdom, by the way, power and wisdom. Principle, even though the pivot is secure by divine protection, those who bought the lie are destroyed by the circumstances imposed. And so when the pivot is too small to withstand the assaults from the reversionists, the client nation is destroyed. When the pivot's too small to withstand the assaults of the reversionists, that's our present zeitgeist, potentially. The client nation is destroyed. And even so, the pivot is preserved throughout the disaster. Even though it's a small pivot, they are preserved. Now, what I'm selling here this morning is you've got to get your mind right about this situation. Fear is not an option. You have to get on the front lines of this battle. If we were in an actual contest on a field somewhere and the other crowd had guns and we had guns, your whole hope was that you could kill them before they killed you. That's called war. And so we're in an invisible war. It's right here, it's in our face, and it's not going away in the foreseeable future, and by that I mean we've got the winter to get through. And people are up to no good through all of this. You can tell that they don't believe what they're selling because they don't pay any attention to what to tell other people to do. Interesting. And they want to make you feel like, well, if you go outside, you're going to die. If you go outside and die in St. Charles County, you're among the 0.01s. And those are the really affected people with physical problems of some kind. And so you say to me, and I understand you're probably ginning around in your thought process, how is it you can stand up there, bray to us about this? Look, you take or leave anything I say here. A lot of you have made a practice of that with regard to doctrine. So when it comes to this idea here, I've been watching this for almost a year. And over the course of the year, I've seen politicians do things that are unconstitutional and therefore are in the process of taking down our national freedoms, starting with, by the way, the First Amendment. They are up to something. And so we have to do something in order to defend ourselves from this external assault. And what is the thing that we are enabled to do with confidence? No shepherd would ever send his sheep into a pack of wolves unless he had the power to protect them. Presently, the Luciferian tactics for the takedown of client nation America have metastasized in the souls of brainwashed minions, stirred to action by demon-influenced members of the ruling class of political leaders and deep state facilitators. The greatest protection the believer can possess is the facilitation of immutable truth, that's emeth and aletheia, within the soul stream of consciousness. This form, this from the mature believers forms the mature believer's wall of fire. And so this is the mature believer concept here. People who are south of that have a problem. There are a lot of believers in the country through faith alone and Christ alone. But when it comes to the facilitation of the doctrines of the Word of God as a working object for facilitated application to the exigencies of the day, that is limited to those who are in this process. These are the ones and the only ones that can ever hold a client nation together, even when it's falling. These are the ones who survive. They're the sheep. And the sheep, therefore, make up the pivot. Are you in the pivot? Are you positive volition to the growth from the Word of God? Are you a protected sheep? See, get the idea of a sheep here. What does the verse say? Be shrewd as serpents. That's wisdom. Okay, I told you why you use serpent here. This is the Lord speaking, by the way. Be shrewd as serpents. Be wise and innocent as doves. All you got to do is stay inside the bubble. Make good decisions from a position of power. So Paul provides a dissertation on the divine protection of those who have advanced to the sophisticated spiritual life. And here's the expanded translation of Ephesians 4. Let's see, we go all the way from verse 17 through 25. This, therefore, I communicate and emphatically testify under oath, says Paul, by means of the Lord, that you no longer continue walking just as also the Gentiles keep walking. In context, who are the Gentiles? Paul is talking to the believers who are, in the context here, those involved in the advance. That would be you. The Gentiles keep walking mean the unbelievers in this context. By means of the mati ates vacuum of emptiness in their souls. Having become darkened in their thinking, having been estranged, alienated, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance which keeps on being in them because of the hardness of their heart. That's reversionism. They can't, even if they are believers, they can't cogitate this and retain it because they're out of fellowship constantly. Having become calloused by scar tissue on the soul, have betrayed themselves over to the promiscuous debauchery, resulting in the practice of every kind of immorality in the sphere of insatiable lusts. Who are the Gentiles present-day America? Those who have no doctrine and are practicing every concept of evil that has now become normalcy. When some of you, I've saw some small children over in the cafeteria a while ago, and one little child was dressed in a slacks and a shirt, and one little child had a dress on. Now, according to the current zeitgeist, to dress a small child with a shirt and trousers, you may someday have to buy a dress. When there's inversion of thought and people accept that as something that is logical and must be defended, what we're talking about is Ephesians 4:17 and following. I tried to be nice about that. I'm not picking on the kids. I'm saying, are you sure that you've got a little boy? in the current zeitgeist? What if he makes a, when he's 9 years old, what if he comes to you and says, you know, I think I'm a little girl. And so you have to go somewhere for some kind of operation to treat the larynx to where you can't go to a bass voice. How does this work? Who thought this up? Why is madness now considered to be normalcy? It's inversion of thought. Dictate policy in any way you can to go to something that is legitimate rationale and then turn that into an evil. And then accuse the people of being crazy and mean and naughty. But in contrast, you have not been taught in this manner according to Christ. Since you have begun to hear him, and you have, and having been taught by him, since the truth keeps on being in Jesus, that, with reference to your former manner of life, you rid yourselves of the sin nature's dominance, which is being corrupted according to the lust patterns from the source of deceit, and for the purpose that you be restored again and again by means of the Holy Spirit, and for the purpose that you clothe yourself with a new spiritual species, which, in the likeness of God, has been created in the sphere of righteousness and in the sphere of devotion to truth. Therefore, having laid aside cosmic concepts, each one of you keep communicating absolute truth, each one of you with your fellow believers, because we are fellow members of the royal family of God. And that is an expanded translation. Now, the above passage describes the spiritual environment that the believer must develop and aggrandize in order to occupy and from which to function during the time of spiritual decline and the advent of the cycles of discipline. So that takes us to... got to get past Jerusalem's destruction. The cycles of discipline. Now, this is one of the studies we'll undertake. This is the last one, and it'll be brief because how much more can you talk about this? But we'll go through it again at the very end of this because that's where we are in this contest. Let's take a look. The first cycle, loss of health, decline of agricultural prosperity. This is an agrarian society. Okay, we go back to Leviticus. Loss of health, decline of agricultural prosperity, terror, fear, and death in combat. Loss of personal freedoms due to negative volition toward doctrine. This is from Leviticus 26. The second cycle, economic recession and depression. Well, we're presently there. Increased personal and individual discipline for continued negative volition in spite of the first warning. That would be the blue states. The third cycle, violence and breakdown of law and order, severe restriction of travel and commerce. Hello. Guess where we are? Things were looking good 1 year ago. How long does it take to pull down a client nation? A yearish. Fourth cycle, military conquest and or foreign occupation. I say coup d'etat. So this is internal. And so this is like fifth column kind of thing. Scarcity of food. I guess we're all eating pretty good right now. I don't know. If you go to the grocery store, you can go to the grocery store. Nobody gets the COVID in a grocery store. Reduced to 1/10 normal supply. Separation of families. To some degree, that's true because people won't go to visit families. We're told not to come to church. We're told not to make a trip to somebody's for the Thanksgiving and the Christmas and so on. So when the people with the power get control, if there are any police, then they'll stop you and I, whatever, and keep you from going there. The fifth cycle, destruction of the nation due to maximum rejection of biblical principle. And the destruction of the nation could be the alteration of the foundational principles of this client nation. So that would be future. But we're certainly in this area right here, the third cycle. There is a playbook to which spiritually mature believers must apply when the client nation's zeitgeist is transformed away from the laws of the divine establishment over to the tyrannical notions of the cosmic systems. The power is in the Word of God and is the artillery which the believer must know and apply. That's your defense department. Reliance upon the Word and obedience to it for your first line of defense, for it is the power that ultimately takes down the lie. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Let no one deceive you by means of enticing words from the source of the dark side. For because of these ideas, the Word of God is coming upon the sons of disbelief. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is the artillery that each of us needs to deploy in this particular moment of our nation's history. Principles regarding the cosmic lust for power comes next. We will stop here, a good place to stop. But I want to go back to one verse with a point or two, and we'll dismiss. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. No shepherd would ever send his sheep into a pack of wolves unless he had the power to protect them. In this context, that is exactly what the Lord tells them to do, and accordingly, he intends to protect his sheep when they are among the wolves. Principle, fear is not an option. God will provide divine cover. He will protect you. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had today to study your word, and from that study to analyze and get clarity with regard to the environment in which we function presently. Our environment must be inside the divine power system, functioning on facilitated wheel tracks of righteousness in the sophisticated spiritual life. We are isolated from the chaos if we will do these simple things. We thank you for your grace to us, and we lift our prayer of gratitude. In the name of Christ, our Savior, amen. Dismissed.